Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC, and I'm headed to the future.
What? The future, really?
Yes, Mac. Throughout human history, PCs have had to deal with freezing, crashing, error messages. I need to know if we're ever going to work the way we should. So I'm going to the year 2150.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, good luck. I hope it works. Greetings, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. What? Future PC. Have they figured out how to fix our issues? Have they figured out how to make us as stable and as hassle-free as a Mac?
Future PC just froze.
Oh, so. Well, that answers that question.
Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm joined by two fantastic gentlemen. You guys know the first one as the king himself, Leander King Caney. Welcome back to the show, Leander.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're also joined by Mike Gaines. You guys may know him. He used to be the editor of the Totally Rad Show podcast. We had him on a Cultcast second hour, actually our very first one. And we talked about all kinds of video stuff. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thank you very much. You're welcome as well.
Thank you. Thank you guys for gracing me with your presence. This is episode 103. Hard to believe we've made it that far. And this episode is sponsored by Squarespace, who has everything you need to build a beautiful website that's fast. You'll build it fast, too. And best of all, Squarespace sites are automatically scaled to look good on any computer that visits, or any smartphone, iPad, Surface 2 tabs, whatever you have, your website is going to look great on all the devices that visit your website. Thank you to them for sponsoring, and we'll talk a little bit more later in the show about Squarespace and tell you guys how you can save a bit of money when you order Squarespace service. You know, I thought we could do something fun this week. Leander, you're going to hate this, but I've been wanting to do this forever.
Fun, yeah. Yeah, I know.
The only kind of fun you like comes in a glass with several ice cubes. And I've been wanting to do this forever. It's a slow news week. Very slow, in fact. So very slow. Molasses. I thought we could do our very first Cultcast staring competition.
Ooh.
No, that wouldn't make sense.
I think we all win.
3 minutes of quiet audio. I thought we could do a new segment I like to call Get to Know Your Cultist. Full disclosure, I stole this idea from the IGN podcast, which talks about video games, but I thought it was cool. So basically, we ask a question, and then everyone gets to answer it, and we get to learn a little bit more about every single person who comes on the show, and eventually you'll know everything about us. That's probably going to take a few thousand episodes. But we got to start with the first one. So today's question is, what is your favorite snack food? Leander, would you care to start? Because I bet you yours is going to be interesting.
My favorite snack?
Yeah, your favorite snack. Beer doesn't count.
Beer nuts?
Beer nuts. You could count that. Is that really it, though?
No, I think I just ate it. It was a candy bar, a chocolate, English chocolate bar.
Do you eat those often?
Every day.
Do you really?
Every day.
No, I don't, but I wish.
That explains why you're close to 400 pounds.
I was when I was writing the book. I was so depressed. I did a candy bar. And like I was just telling you earlier, you know, they're available all over San Francisco now. Every corner store has them. So
what are they called?
Well, you know, there's all different kinds. Curly Whirlies, Yorkies.
Curly Whirlies.
Oh, wait a minute. Curly Whirlies?
I would not put a Curly Whirly in my mouth. I'm just going to put that out there.
A Curly Whirly is heaven in a wrapper. It's absolutely delicious.
It sounds like something that Willy Wonka would grow in his chocolate factory.
Yeah, exactly. That's where he got all the ideas from. There's all these, you know, this is where all the Roald Dahl got all the, you know, his imagination was sparked by all this wonderful British confectionery.
Huh. Curly Whirlies. And then the one you were telling me about before the show, what was that?
Well, the one I had was a Yorkie, which is like a big hunk of, it's about a pound of chocolate.
Does it have nuts or anything in it?
Yeah, and it has this really sexist tagline on it. It says, not for girls. Oh my God, it's like, what the hell?
No, Curly Whirly is for girls.
That's the one for women, yeah. Your favorite one.
Right. And then they have, what was the other one? Arrows are good. Toblerone. I guess that's not, is that British? That's Swiss, though, isn't it?
Toblerone? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they have Mars bars, which is...
Those are delicious. Toblerones are really good.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
The Mars, Milky Way.
you have a whole assortment. Get to know Leander's favorite chocolate bars. That's going to be our next show segment. What about you, Mike?
It's very, very funny. Curly Whirlies are my favorite as of now. I don't even know what they are.
You don't even know what they taste like.
They're my favorite now.
Fair enough.
Know what it is.
What would be your second? What would be your second favorite?
Oh, my second favorite. Past Curly Whirlies, I love Hint of Lime chips.
Like Tostitos, Hint of Lime chips?
Tostitos, Hint of Lime chips, which they're really, depending on which chip you get, it's really an inundation of lime instead of just a hint.
Oh, that's the best kind, though.
And I will do that. I will open the bag and I will hunt around for one that has the most green specks on it because I want as much lime on that chip as possible.
My favorite are Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, those are good.
I've been eating since I was 5. Love them. And it's funny that you should mention there's a certain chip to powder ratio, like flavor powder that I really like. And every once in a while you'll reach in and one will come out and it's just like covered in blue dust.
Caked on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just caked on.
Yeah.
I wish they would sell bags like that that just had like extra flavor powder blasted on, right? Like for that specific run, they just churn the powder machine up to like 250%. And all the like assembly line workers are sweating and getting nervous because the machine's up so high.
Have you had the Taco Bell, whatever that is.
The Cool Ranch Dorito or the Cool Ranch Dorito. It's just a taco, right?
Right. But with the shell is a Cool Ranch Dorito.
I have had that one. I have. It was very tasty. It wasn't worth the IBS, but it was very tasty.
Yeah, how long were you on the toilet after that?
Well, I only ate one, so 6 hours. My body did a full emergency evacuation. Cool. Well, that was fun. See, I know a little bit more about you guys. And now I know that Mike's a salty guy. I'm a salty guy.
Yeah,
and Leander, you're a sweet guy.
Yeah, right.
Very sweet guy.
Well, you're a very sweet guy, and you like things that are very sweet, so that makes sense. Along the same lines, Mike, one of the reasons that I was excited to have you on today is because you are a professional video editor, also a motion graphics guy. Did I say that right?
Yep, visual effects.
Visual effects.
Yeah,
great.
Visual effects is what I do on a professional basis. People pay me to do something that I really love, and that's visual.
It sounds like a really fun job.
It is. Most of it is. Most of it's fun, yeah.
And so we wanted to get your opinion on the Mac Pro because that machine's kind of built for guys like you.
Yeah.
And also we polled our listeners, well, some of them, on Twitter, and asked for questions to ask you, and I got a couple of really good questions that I want to throw your way. But let me go a little bit more in depth on what you do first. So you work on, and I don't know if you can talk about this in detail. If not, just tell me now. But you work on really popular television shows for a really major studio. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I can get into some of it. I work for Sony Television, and Sony produces a lot of TV shows that you didn't really realize. You see a lot of shows on all these networks, and you just assume that, well, this show is on NBC, so NBC must have made it. And it's actually, that's not how things work. It's different studios make different shows, and then those get bought up by the different networks and then are distributed. So we work on a whole bunch of stuff right now. We're working on the Michael J. Fox show for NBC, The Blacklist, what else? The Goldbergs, which is on ABC, and just finished up on Unforgettable, which is on CBS. Started up on Justified, which is for FX. Yeah, so a whole slew of different things that Sony produces, and we provide visual effects services for those shows.
What kind of effects do you add into the Michael J. Fox show?
All kinds of stuff. I mean, that kind of stuff, I can't get into too much detail about because, a lot of the stuff is to make the show better. And if I told you what all the stuff that the what the show was crappy because of this, this, and this. And after we got our hands on it.
Well, that's
it,
the information
great.
We need to know. Please continue.
But we do a lot of, we just fix a lot of things. There's the, or if they're sitting in front of a TV or they're using their phone, or on Michael J. Fox show, he's a news anchor. So he's in a newsroom a lot. A lot of the times the TVs don't have anything on them, or they need to completely replace what's on one of the TVs. So we'll go in and put that actual image or design the graphic that goes into the TV. So we do that sort of thing. I mean, sometimes there'll be a boom mic in the shot or a crew member in the background that they didn't realize he was there and we need to remove him.
Really?
Things like that. Completely random things. I mean, I could list for hours the different types of shots that we've done.
Are they a lot lazy now then? Because you can do this kind of stuff? You know, can they be kind of sloppy?
Yeah, kind of.
And by kind of, he means yes, very much.
Yeah, well, it keeps us very busy. I think there's a mentality that computers have gotten so powerful that they're just like, oh, well, don't worry about that. We have guys that will fix all of that, so don't worry about that. So we'll fix it in post is what they always say. It's more true now than ever, I think. So we clean up a lot of messes on a lot of different things.
So let's talk about Mac Pro. Because you're the guy I really wanted to talk to about this. So this machine's been released. The prices are out now. I think it's $3,000 for the base model, $4,000 for the model right above that. And you said before we started recording that you had some time to think about it and you had some opinions. What do pros think about this machine?
Across the board, everything is a little bit mixed. And I was actually talking to one of the Apple business guys at one of the Apple stores because he contacted me before they even came out with all the different specs and prices. And he was trying to get a feel for what all of the Apple professionals that use the Mac Pro, what they will need once this comes out and how it would fit into their workflow. Because the main big difference between this little trash can that they made and the big behemoth of a tower that they had was the expandability and the being able to put PCI cards into the computer and basically make it anything that you need it to fit into your workflow. Mm-hmm. The new Mac Pro, you can't do that right out the box. It's mainly set up just to be bare bones. And then if you need to add other things to it, you're going to have to spend more money to get the different chassis and the different Thunderbolt. Yeah, very piecemeal. And I think that now that they've said that it's going to be $3,000 for the quad core and 6-core is going to be $4,000. And, of course, I'm sure they'll have a 12-core past that. It's probably going to be $5,000. Mm-hmm. I think that people are starting to realize, oh, that's all they're going to do. They're not actually going to also sell the little box that it sits next to it that's going to hold all my PCI cards that I use and love all the time. I'm going to have to spend like another $1,000 and go to Belkin or somewhere else that's going to make that for me. And then my desk is going to be a big clutter of wires all over the place. I think that they're going in the right direction with the technology, but they're also kind of cutting off the way that things used to be done. But on the flip side, these are pretty amazing computers, and I mean they all have dual GPUs standard in them, so that's crazy in and of itself. Super fast memory, super fast flash storage, that's all built in. So it's going to be a beast of a computer. It's just going to take a little bit of figuring out how to, you know, put it into the already established workflows that this type of computer is put into. So
when I hear you describe it that way, it kind of makes it sound like the Mac Pro is more for like the independent guys and maybe like the smaller studios and not like the major production workshops like the ones that you work in.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I think it would take a lot of reworking to say you wanted to replace or upgrade to the new Mac Pro from the Mac Pro that you have, it would take a lot to figure out, well, okay, I had a like fiber network for all of our storage. Mm-hmm. So I need my fiber card that is in the computer. Well, you can't put a fiber card in the Mac, the new Mac Pro.
Not without a hammer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And maybe a blowtorch.
Yeah. So now I have to buy a separate thing just to hold the fiber card and, you know, connect that through Thunderbolt. And it's going to take a little bit of doing. And we still don't know. I mean, they say that some German site said that it was coming out December 16th. So maybe not.
We were going to talk about that. Thank you.
Oh, we were. Yeah.
Let's just get it out there now.
Sorry.
Rumored.
Spoiler for the rest of the show. I think that they still have more to release or talk about. I don't know. I think Apple made. I mean, we don't have any new 4K displays yet, which this is completely capable of supporting. So I think there's a lot more that they could add to it that they're just not telling us that they're going to actually produce and make our lives easier. So
we're kind of a tough transition point. I think I just got a new Mac Pro or a MacBook Pro rather, mm-hmm. Mike, which I love. It's Apple's newest model, but it's weird because it has Thunderbolt, right? Mm-hmm. And it got rid of the FireWire 800, which I have a lot of accessories that I use that, mm-hmm. that use that kind of input method. And there's just not really a whole lot of Thunderbolt stuff out there. And they mm-hmm. got rid of the Ethernet port. So they essentially trade an Ethernet port and a FireWire port and actually an audio optical out jack in order for two Thunderbolt ports. And you can't really use Thunderbolt. I mean, are pros using Thunderbolt? Is it integrated into a lot of their workflows yet?
I don't think so. I mean, we have one Mac Pro, but there's nothing that I have that we use Thunderbolt for. But of course, it's something that I'm thinking about now because I would like to get the new Mac Pros and thinking, well, okay, how would we start integrating Thunderbolt into everything? Mm-hmm. But no, yeah, I think what they're trying to do, and it's kind of like when they changed the connector on the iPhone. They just mm-hmm. they changed it, and they knew everybody was going to be really mad about it. But they're like, you know what, everybody, you just kind of have to. You're just going
to
change.
You just have to
eat it. You have to do it. Yeah, you just have to do it. Take your medicine. It's going to be better in the long run. And we have to do something to change everything. So I think this is kind of one of their other ways of doing that. And for better or for worse, you know, we're just going to have to deal with it. At least pros who use the Mac Pro.
What about the long-term longevity of the machine? I mean, does it, because you can't upgrade the GPUs, right? So
right, yeah.
How long before they're out of date?
Well, I mean, then you would actually, if you wanted to update the GPU, you would then add on a video card via Thunderbolt. I'm assuming you'd get some kind of PCI expansion chassis and upgrade the GPU that way. But yeah, I mean, those are soldered on, right? I don't think you can actually get you can't replace those.
As far as I'm aware, no, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. But I know like the flash storage is upgradable. The RAM is upgradable, all that type of stuff. But, yeah, I don't think the GPUs, I don't know, longevity. I think the expandability through Thunderbolt is what they're really, banking everything on. So
yeah,
we'll see. It's still just really expensive. I mean, anything Thunderbolt,
yes,
there are a couple of Thunderbolt hard drives out there, but they're just so madly expensive. You're like, well, I might as well just stick with FireWire or USB 3 or, you know, it's so much cheaper and it's just about as fast. So, I don't know. The prices will have to come down.
I think that's one though, right?
What's that?
Yeah, I do.
Really, I do, nice.
It's going to be a screaming computer. It's going to be, you know, one of the fastest Macs that you can, or fastest computers, period, that you can get. And if you use a Mac in your everyday work like I do, this is the next thing. It's like, yeah, I definitely want this. If this is going to make my render times a lot shorter, then anything I can do to get it.
Right, then it pays itself off.
Exactly.
And the $40 Thunderbolt cables you'll have to buy.
I know, so
which
many.
Which you, by the way, cannot find anywhere except through like an Apple-sanctioned, authorized retailer. Sure. I mean, they have such a grip on their new cables that you basically just have to bend over and spread them, as they say. Yeah. I mean, because those cables are so expensive. I mean, a Thunderbolt cable, I think, is $40 just for a cable. And that's like Best Buy prices right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where you can save, you know, on virtually every other kind of cable, USB, FireWire, and you can find places that sell them really inexpensively. Apple's got to be making a fortune on these new cables because there's just no way to get them, you know.
Yeah, they have to be licensed. It's a licensed technology from them, and for it to work in your computer, it has to have the chip in it that Apple produces. And yeah, they're pretty. You know, I think they know what they're doing, but it stinks for consumers. I think
it does stink for consumers, and I hope it. It's kind of frustrating when you buy a computer for $2,600 or whatever you spend on a new computer, and then you're like, wow, now I have to buy all this extra gear, plus even the cables. Like, you might end up having to pay $200 just in cables. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, that shouldn't cost $200.
Exactly.
And Mike, I want to get to these questions from our users. And actually, we have a lot of Apple stories coming up next. We're definitely going to run through those. And we have an all-new Faves and Raves app edition coming up at the end of the show. But I do want to tell our wonderful listeners about Squarespace.com. If you guys need a website, maybe you're going to be starting a business. Maybe you need a website to showcase your motion graphics work, Mike.
Oh.
I mean, that's possible, right? I mean, there's so many possibilities that you might need a website. You need to check out squarespace.com/cultcast because Squarespace is like the Apple of the web host world. I mean, not only are you going to get excellent customer service 24/7, you're going to get a rock solid, reliable website, but they have all these great apps that run on iOS devices that let you essentially run your website with a really beautiful app from your iOS device, whether it's your iPhone, your iPad. You can run your entire website with these really cool apps. You can check your statistics, which is a word I'm having trouble saying. And not only that, it's really easy to make a Squarespace website. Everything's drag and drop. You don't need to know how to do any kind of coding at all. You just drag and drop from all these different modules they have and design it. You can pick different colors and different fonts. And then once you hit publish, boom, your website's up. And Squarespace is going to configure it so that it looks great on any device that visits. So you have a full website solution without having to do a ton of work, and it's going to look really beautiful. They're always adding new templates to choose from as well. I was just looking at their blog today. They just added a new template, which I'm trying to find the name of. Aha, Galapagos. Doesn't that sound fancy?
Ooh, awesome. Mm. Turtles.
Yeah, exactly. Except the website has a bunch of hipsters on it. they're cute, actually. You guys should take a look. So head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Try it out. Try it out, and if you like it, you can save 10% off your order, whether that's a month of service or a year of service. 10% off your entire order. Just enter the code CULTCAST12. That's the number 12 at the end. Thank you, Squarespace, for sponsoring yet another episode of the CultCast. Mike, got some questions for you.
Okay. Shoot.
These, I'm really interested to hear what your answers are going to be. So, okay. Pulled my Twitter followers for questions, looking for them now. Aha, here they are.
Vladi Z. What is your favorite snack food?
That's the first question. Oh, wait, that was my question. Vladi Z wants to know what programs you typically use for 3D animation.
Good question. I don't do a lot of 3D, but when I do,
I put my arm up on the table and I lean in close.
Well, what's great, After Effects now comes with Cinema 4D Lite. You know, After Effects, the whole Adobe pantheon of software is now subscription-based. So it's all part of the Creative Cloud. Mm-hmm. And it comes with, as part of your Creative Cloud subscription, After Effects comes with Cinema 4D Lite. And for very basic 3D animation, a lot of like text graphics and that sort of thing, Cinema 4D is awesome. It integrates into After Effects really well. And I'm just kind of scratching the surface of Cinema 4D now just to learn it. And then also there's another program called Element. I think it's called Element from videocopilot.net, which is also an After Effects plugin or Element 3D, that you are able to import 3D models into the program or the plugin, and it renders everything inside of After Effects and does it in a fraction of the time that than like doing it in 3ds Max or even Cinema 4D or any of those programs. And you can put it into After Effects and use all of the After Effects controls and plugins to interact with this Element 3D plugin. Such a great, awesome particle plugin that's built into After Effects using their plugin software. So those are the types of things that I use.
Awesome. This question comes from Jonathan Spinell. I'd like to know what new or prospective technology is emerging and what is/will be exciting for your industry.
Good question. I think at least for my industry, I think the big push now is for 4K stuff. All the TVs are, everybody says, or at least Sony thinks that everything is going to be 4K in the future. And I think that...
Like how far in the future?
Very far in the future. Yeah. Are you planning on buying a 4K TV soon?
I would love to have a 4K TV, but I don't know what you would do with it.
I don't either.
Besides watch 1080p.
Exactly. Because that's the only thing available. But I think that not just the 4K technology coming out, but I think that better quality, Netflix has kind of now their super HD quality that you can stream. I think that now with people streaming things over the internet to watch TV instead of pulling up their cable, the quality of that is going to get much, much better. So I think that's one kind of immediate thing. And then it kind of a little farther down in the future, at least for my industry, is just the software that we use is just going to keep getting better and better and better. I mean, After Effects, for what I do, has gone leaps and bounds beyond some of the software that some of our other artists work on that costs a whole lot more money. And so I think that's going to just keep getting better and better and better, and it's going to make my job a lot, lot easier.
I have a question, and it may be a dumb question. Do you ever see doing your kind of work on an iPad?
I don't know. Probably not. I take that back. I've used Photoshop on an iPad to touch some like photos up, remove pimples or do whatever. And I found that actually very easy.
Right. Isn't it easier on an iPad to do that kind of thing than it is using a mouse?
I would use, I use a graphics tablet, a Wacom tablet with a pen, which is kind of the same thing as doing it on an iPad with your finger. And you could actually have a stylus too, I guess, on the iPad. And you can, you'd be able to touch right directly onto the picture that you're touching up. But I think as those displays get bigger and bigger and touch technology gets better and better, that will make things a whole lot easier for the type of stuff that we do.
Yeah, well, there's talk, of rumors of the iPad Pro.
Right.
With a much bigger screen. And if the software, I think the iPad software is getting more and more sophisticated year after year.
Yeah.
And definitely looking, it's looking more and more like a pro tool, I think, every year.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how.
Yeah, cool.
It's really exciting how far or how fast technology is improving. Mm-hmm. I mean, back to the 4K televisions that you were just mentioning earlier, they have those at CES every year, the Consumer Electronics Show. Mm-hmm. And if you've never seen one of those, they are a marvel to behold. I mean, when you see one for the first time, the picture is unlike anything you have ever
seen. It looks real.
It looks beyond real to me. Yeah. It's like almost
hyper
like
real.
It's hyper real.
Dream real.
it's like insane when you can see every little fine hair on a person's face.
Which, by the way, those are the kinds of pictures they show when you see those televisions at CES. And you'll see every hair on, like, a woman's nose. And you're almost kind of thinking, I don't know if I want things to be this HD.
I don't like that.
And now they have 8K and 12K televisions. And who knows what they're going to have this year. They're going to have, like, 24K.
When are they going to start shooting in that resolution?
Well, yeah. They are. I mean, they're shooting in 4K now, and actually Sony is making a big push to shoot all of their shows in 4K. Mm-hmm. And they just they're still working on converting all of the Breaking Bad episodes. They were all Breaking Bad was shot on film. They've gone back and rescanned all of the film for Breaking Bad and are mastering it in 4K. So
really?
That they can, yeah, so they can, in the future, once 4K becomes a big thing, which will it really? Don't know. But they're trying to amass a bunch of content through all of their their TV shows and the back catalog of stuff.
So they can be ready for it?
So they can be ready for it, yeah.
Well, nothing looks worse on an HD TV than old SD
exactly.
Content. Yeah. So what does 1080p look like on a 4K screen? Awful?
I don't know. It probably looks okay. I think it's probably got good up conversion to 4K. I'm not really sure. I guess it depends on how big the TV is too. Hmm. But those TVs can get, you know, like 85 inches or something crazy.
Leander, if you want to know what the picture really looks like when you do 1080p on a 4K television, it's simple. All you have to do is just go to like your local copy center, drop your drawers, sit on the copy machine, hit print. And then just look at the sheet of paper that came out.
So it looks great, is what you're saying.
So it looks perfectly rotund and in shape. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
It's all those chocolate bars you've been eating.
I'm going to
want now. He's got a healthy bottom.
On the Curly Whirly shop. Can I get off this podcast to get up there?
Hey, guys, let's run through some quick other Apple news this week that we thought was interesting. And then we'll wrap up with an all-new Faves and Raves. Did you guys hear anything about Darth Vader taking a selfie?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I've been hearing
on
about
Instagram,
this. It was on Instagram. I've been hearing about this everywhere, and I was like, what the hell are people talking about Darth Vader doing a selfie? So apparently Star Wars they have their own Instagram account now. So that's the big news, right? Mm-hmm. And to prepare for it, they had Darth Vader take a picture of himself. So he's holding the phone in front of his face. And apparently the image came from an iPhone. But I think it's like an iPhone 4, which I'm pretty sure that Darth Vader would probably have the iPhone 6 already. Because if you didn't give it to him, he would force choke you.
Now, have you seen this picture?
Yeah, I have. It's hilarious.
It's great, but the only issue I have with it is it's not a selfie. It's a picture of him taking a selfie of himself.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's like a meta selfie.
It's very meta.
Yeah, it's very meta.
Because otherwise, it would just be a portrait of Darth Vader.
Right. Which and then
which would not be that cool.
It's really a selfie.
Yeah. Exactly. Hence the full picture there.
Right.
Also, what I thought was cool is Apple was granted a patent this week to have wirelessly charging stations in your house. So, you know, like you have phones that you can put near a device and then – or usually it's on like on top of like a mat or something and they wirelessly charge. Well, apparently Apple has patented a technology called PowerPort Extreme, which allows you to plug in a central charging station somewhere in your house, and then all the devices that are near that charging station just power themselves up. Would that not be something that you guys would want in your house? I want that.
How does that work, though? Wirelessly?
Yeah, it's wireless.
Well, they have these systems now. They're rolling it out in Starbucks and McDonald's all over the country. Duracell is one of the partners. I mean, there's a whole, it's a consortium of, and it's induction charging, right? So you have to put a special case or a special dongle on your device and then drop it on a mat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it takes like 10 times as long as it would with a cable, but you know, you don't have to plug a wire in, but you do have to plug in, you know, like some kind of bulky case or some accessory. I think some of the Android makers are actually building it into the.
Well, I think that's what Apple's. That I think that is what
device.
This patent is implying as well, is that Apple's going to be
hopefully building this into your devices so that you could have it near this charging station without having to be on some type of mat and it would just charge up. Well, that would be super cool because who likes to plug their device in?
They had They had a charge. They had a pan like this before though with for charging keyboards and mice.
Mm-hmm.
If you know your Bluetooth keyboard and your Bluetooth mouse, if it's close to your iMac, it'll be in a state of constant charge because the Mac will be beaming microwaves at it.
Wow. And also into your
that
hand.
That sounds safe.
And your nads, but
right into my lap.
You have to get a special lead line. It
comes with a lead eye cup.
Yeah, right. But apart from that, it works great.
Yeah, apart from that, it only takes 14 hours to charge.
Now I can't have children. So.
Or life past 60. Also along the patent line, this is something I thought was really cool. So Apple filed for a patent in 2008 for some type of facial detection built into their iOS and Macs or iOS devices and Macs. And previously, before owning an Xbox One, which I just purchased, I wouldn't really think this is that cool. But having owned an Xbox One, this is exciting because essentially what this technology is going to allow you to do is you'll never have to sign in. So when you sit down, your iMac or your MacBook Pro will scan your face and it will know who you are and automatically log you in. This is something that the Xbox One does. Mike, do you have an Xbox One?
I don't. No.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, Xbox One or the PS4, I don't, there's nothing there quite yet that really,
excites
maybe this. Maybe the face detection thing is cool, and I'd want that. But other than that, the games aren't all that interesting, and I'm waiting it out.
Gotcha. Okay. So one of the things that it does is when you walk into the room, because the Kinect is included with every Xbox One, it recognizes you, and it will automatically log you in. And whenever I walk past my TV now, if I'm not logged in, the Xbox logs me in, and it says, "Hi, Irfan," which is kind of crazy, right?
That's cool.
It works very, very often. Unless you have something in the like on your lap and it doesn't get a clear picture of you, it doesn't work. In which case, you can use voice control to do it
on your lap.
Yeah, so it has a hard time if your body is obscured in any way. It doesn't work quite as well.
So it's not facial recognition. Body recognition.
Well, you mean svelte in tone body recognition. That's how it works.
Yeah.
It's like I would recognize that six pack anywhere. The higher
you have put on a couple of pounds, a
couple
since
of
last
lbs. care to boot up Xbox Sports? It works very, very well. And a lot of times I'm sitting down, it's just operating off my face. But it's crazy because when you sit down, it logs you in. So all of your account information is there. And then when you go to use Netflix or when you go to use like any of your other apps, it's like you're automatically logged in. Plus, it's a little weird when you sit down or walk past and your TV says hi and then your name. It's very strange. And it's like, how cool would it be to do that with your Mac where you just literally never need to sign in? And I was reading through this this post and the patent information. Apparently, it's pretty secure, so it might be able to log you into websites. And also great for the NSA because they can tell what your facial expression is depending on what website that you're browsing, which they're recording.
Right.
They'll know all that great information. So, and you'll never be able to escape if you have a warrant out for your arrest. It's going to be like Minority Report.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's no privacy issues with this whatsoever.
What could go wrong here?
No. No, I think that's really cool. Actually, I think it's something that facial recognition is not a foreign concept, and they all we have cameras in everything that we have. There's front facing cameras in the phone and the iMac and everything. I don't know if I want it on all the time. Maybe if I hit like a button on the keyboard and it scans my face and then it logs me in, then that's great. But I think that's pretty cool. I think should be easy enough to implement.
Yeah, so that might be coming to a new Mac near you in the next 10 to 50 years. No promises on the date. Hey, guys, let's wrap up with an all-new Faves and Raves app edition. Mike, I know that I warned you before the show. Do you have an app picked?
I do have an app
picked. Okay, wonderful. This is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech
or apps, and then vote on which one's best. Well, we let our listeners vote. And you can do so on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. Being as this is a app edition, we're going to be doing apps only. Mike, would you like to do the honors and tell us what your app pick is?
I would love to.
Please,
I
go
would
for
love
it.
To. Well, you know, we've just, with the iPhone 5S that just came out, and we've got the awesome M7 chip processor built into it that's
yes.
tracking your movement all the time. One app that I'm really loving now is Rove, R-O-V-E.
Never heard
and
of it.
It is a, basically, it's a, they describe it as your very personal automated diary. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it automatically tracks where you go. It sounds awful as I start saying.
Wait a second. I thought you weren't into this kind of technology.
It automatically remembers all the places that you've visited, your like basically road trips you've gone on, flights that you've taken, your hikes, your just trips to and from the store or to work, and it catalogs it in kind of a diary entry with a calendar. So you go to the calendar and you can tap on one of the days, and it will show you step by step what you did that day. And if you went on a road trip, it'll tell you exactly how far you went. If you went on a hike, it will tell you how many steps you took, how many calories you burned, all that type of thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. This is pretty cool.
It's really cool. And what the coolest thing, I think, is that it integrates with your photo album. Mm-hmm. And if you take pictures during the day, it will automatically pull those pictures from your photo album and put them in your timeline for that day. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of scroll through, and you can scroll through a day, and you'd be like, oh yeah, that's right, I did take that picture on that day when I went to the beach or wherever. And it's really cool because it can figure out if you're either walking, running, in a car, on a plane. I just went home for Thanksgiving, and it knew that I was in a plane. I guess because I went, you know, in 3 hours, I went thousands of miles. So that's pretty smart. But it actually then shows a little map. It shows how far I went and how long it took on my plane ride. Very cool. And what's great that with the integration with the M7 chip is that it doesn't use a whole lot of battery. It's your phone is kind of constantly collecting all of this movement data. And when you open up the app, that's when it starts to analyze all that data. It does use the GPS. So the GPS is on all the time, basically. So it does use a little battery life for that. But I love it. It's something that I just leave on, and every once in a while I'll open it up and see, oh yeah, that's what I did that day, or where did I end up, you know, ending up on that hike. And then you can look at it up on the map. I think it's really cool.
It's free.
It sounds like a private Foursquare. Can you share it with anybody? And
Yes, I think you can. You can share your daily entry, I think. I think there's a share button at the top of it.
Hmm. And it is free, so
and it's free.
We
totally
like that
free.
Price.
Yeah,
that M7 is cool. That allows all these apps just to do all this stuff in the background.
Oh, I love it. I have like the Nike app, the Nike Move app. That mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to have these apps running in the background all the time. Your phone is actually doing all of that automatically, and you just open up an app to that will analyze all the data. And so I think, you know, things like Rove and the Nike app and a lot of different fitness apps are really using it very effectively, I think.
Cool. Rove on the App Store. Leander, what's your pick?
Knock. The Knock app. No, I don't think I picked it last week or
no,
the week before.
But I think Buster might have.
Oh, he did?
No, he didn't. I think this is a fresh pick.
Okay, awesome. Thank God for that. Because I was actually desperate. I spent the whole time, this whole podcast, looking for something. And then I remembered I had this. And actually, I do use this all the time.
Okay.
And it really works really well. There were some complaints early on. So anyway, what it is that you load this app onto your iPhone, and it will unlock your Mac or your MacBook. When
you're
you come
joking. I know exactly what you're talking about. I almost brought this up on a previous show. As just to see if you guys thought this was cool. Sorry, go ahead.
And it's, you know, so normally instead of having to put my password in all the time to the machine. You just knock on your phone. And it works really, really well. And it really is a big time saver because, you know, I got my machine set up to have password lock when it goes into screensaver. And, you know, I'm paranoid about someone stealing my machine and all my secrets. So, you know, I spend, you know, all day unlocking the thing with this elaborate 16-character password that I set up.
Wow.
And so this really saves me a lot of time. You just knock on it. And
you knock on the phone or the
Okay. when you're in range. So it can be in your pocket, or usually what I do is I plonk the phone down onto my desk and plug it into the Mac to charge it up. Or it's in my pocket, you know. So if I go and leave and get lunch, I come back and I can just tap on my back pocket like I'm, you know, slapping my own backside.
And it's rock solid, so everyone's impressed.
Well, at least it's not in my front pocket. That's one thing.
Leander's thighs are rock hard. He's always knocking on them, too. He's so vain.
there was all these complaints early on. I think they might have a couple of glitches that, you know, people were saying it didn't work or they had to knock quite a lot. And I discovered one of the things to do is, like, if it can be a little glitchy sometimes. So you're supposed to knock twice. So instead of knocking twice, you just hammer on it. Pounding on it, and eventually they'll come through. So that's a pro tip right there.
Wow.
All right, knock. It's $3.99.
Oh, not free.
It's not free. So no, that's something to think about.
Yeah.
But everyone will think you have a hard glute, so that's good. mine is called Metric Me, and it is free as well. I'm losing my voice. Excuse me. So let me describe to you my problem, and I'll tell you how my app solves my problem. So I like to go to work out, right? I have like 12-pack chiseled. I mean, just chiseled from top to bottom on this structure
sure.
that I have.
Yes, go on.
But my problem was that I needed a way to keep track of my weight at the gym, and I just wanted something simple. There's a lot of, like, ridiculous apps that have all these features. I just wanted something that would allow me to enter in whatever exercise I was doing and then how, like, what my weight was. And then if I wanted to do multiple sets, it could track, you know, Airfon bench pressed 400 pounds in the first set, 450 on the second, 500 yeah. on the third, you know, basic stuff. And it was hard to find. And I finally found an app called Metric Me, and it's genius. If you like to go to the gym, if you like to lift weights, even if you just do, like, running, or maybe you like to do push-ups a lot, it lets you track all these in a really organized way, and it tracks them per exercise. So every time you enter what you did and how much you lifted, it records that as a record, and then you can go and look at, like, how much your weight has increased over time or how much you have lifted over time. And it'll show you graphs and stuff as well. And it makes it really easy to keep track of all the different weight routines that you're doing at the gym. And it does have some pro features, too, that you can unlock. And if you want to do that, it's only an extra buck. So for a free app that lets you do all these great things at the gym, if you are a gym goer, definitely want to check out Metric Me. I don't think I'm going to win, but it is handy.
That's cool. It's cool.
I mean, let's face it. If your body's svelte, you're going to vote for mine. But
so basically, it's a big notepad with charts.
Yeah.
And
so to allow, because I used to do it on paper, and that just got to be something where I was embarrassed. I was like, look, on an Apple podcast, I have all these apps. There's got to be something that I can do to not be using this pen and paper. So finally I figured something out. But in any case, so mine's free. It's called Metric Me. Mike's is Rove. It's free. Leander's is Knock. If you would like to vote and let us know whose you think is the best, head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, and look for a post there asking you for your vote. And we would love it if everyone would go vote. That would be delightful. I think we should wrap it up there, guys. I think that's it. Okay. That's all we got.
Yeah.
And Mike, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Oh,
I hope you'll come back.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to come back.
I mean, you have a great voice for radio. Don't you agree, Leander?
Thank you. I think he should be
the host.
I was doing hey. Talk after Mike. I wouldn't be doing a Santa thing
because
it just showed me up.
Well, we'll definitely have you back on, Mike, sometime in the future.
Just for my voice.
Yeah, I just want to hear you just talk.
You can just talk about anything.
Yeah, really. In fact, you want to just keep going now?
Yeah, let me get the phone book out. I'll start. Adam Abrams.
Okay. This is the best show we've ever done. Hey, you know what? You can join us on Twitter as well. I almost forgot to mention, Mike, you're at Snoop Mikey, right?
That is right. Snoop Mikey. SNOOPMIKEY.
Leander's L. Caney. KAHNEY. I'm at Erfon. ERFON. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. And this has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank you to everyone who's listening. We'll see you guys next Thursday for an all-new episode. Until then, I'm going to miss you dearly.
Me too.
Leander, not so much.
I'm checked out again.
I'm off on the street. It's
some curly whirly time. I hope you guys like lawsuits. That's going to be my favorite rave pick this week. Oh, speaking of which, so the reason I asked you to pick an app, Mike, is because we do a segment called Faves and Raves where we pitch different products and apps and stuff. So at the end of the show, we'll wrap up with that. So we'll do a Faves and Raves app edition, and the way it works is we pitch our app, and then we let the people on our Facebook page vote on who's best.
So
we will do that.
Interesting. So it's a competition.
Yeah. It is a competition, essentially. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And loser dies.
Oh God!
Which is why Buster's not here this week.
Wow. Yeah. I think I'm going to hit the end call button.
Well, that means you forfeit, and that makes things easier.
Now I die.